We just welcome you in this place, Lord. We give you everything that we have this morning. We cast all our needs, our burdens, our plans, all of our ideas. We bring them to the obedience of the cross of Christ. And we just say thank you. Whether it's little or big or in between the breakthrough that we need, we just bring it before you, your throne. We bring the request that you already know that we have in our heart. We bring it again this morning to you. And we're thankful that in the waiting, you are strengthening us, positioning us to celebrate. And so we just praise your holy name this morning. We pray as we open your word, as you open up our hearts, God, that you would take us on a divine adventure, Lord. We pray that we would feast on your word this morning and that it would transform us from the inside out. Just want to notice you this morning, Holy Spirit. And just want to say thank you. We pray now for this region, God. We pray for every single house of worship that is lifting up the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we decree, God, that they would be so in love with you, God, that the whole entire mountain would be filled with the aroma of Christ. We pray, Father, that those who haven't met your Spirit and those who are off in your Spirit and everyone in between, Lord, that all houses of worship would glorify your name. And so we lift up the little ones and the big ones and the mature and the immature, and we bring them all before your throne this morning. And we ask you to break in, God, across this region, Jesus. Transform this place and the plains on either side, Lord. Transform it to be a place of glory and holiness and purity, God. We pray you'd invade houses today. People will be caught up in the Spirit today. Release visions, Lord, and dreams. Set hearts free today, Lord. As a man goes about going to sin, as he goes to sin, apprehend him, Holy Spirit, and bring him to his knees. As a woman goes to sin, Lord, apprehend her at that moment, Lord, and break her into your kingdom, we pray. Don't break them into movements or doctrines or religions or systems. Break them into your kingdom, we pray. All across this region, God. All across this region, we just thank you that you are saving people today. May it be so wonderful to hear the stories. I was walking and all of a sudden he appeared to me. I was about to do this thing that's been plaguing me for years, and as I went to do it, he met me. So we thank you, Lord. And we just give you glory, Lord, for today. You are worthy of all the praise and all the worship and all the adoration. I'm just so thankful, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, I don't know really what to do, but that's quite common. But we know what we're doing, and that's okay. And that doesn't sound confusing if you understand that when the kingdom comes and his will's being done, you pretty much just have to move out of the way so he can do what he wants to do. And I have a whole lot of stuff to get through, but I'm just going to be patient and just sit where I feel the Lord wants us to sit today. I've asked Heather to come up. In the Old Testament, in the Bible, it says that when Elijah the prophet would want to hear the word of the Lord, he would ask the minstrel to come and they would play, and as they played, the word of the Lord went forth. And so I haven't done this for a while, but I asked her to come. Thank you for your prayers last weekend. We were up in Orange. It's funny what you shared this morning, Karen, because the Lord gave me a title for the messages that were, they streamed it live. It was pretty cool on YouTube. Now, the first one was called Sacred Invitation. Yeah, and the other one was called Sacred Waiting. But I'm not going to share those with you today because that was for there, and this is for now, amen. You can go back and listen to those on YouTube if you'd like to. Just thank you for praying for the saints as well, because there's saints everywhere that are actually erupting with the kingdom of God, and they're learning to be a kingdom people and not a church people. It's very, very different. The Lord's been unfolding to us for the last few years that He continually wants us not to be an ecclesia and stop there, just being a people with a common value, but He wants us to be a koinonia, which means a people that are unified in the heart and are running together as a family. And so encourage us to continue on with that. I want us to be fully furnished, because when we're fully furnished, we don't need the things that we need when we're not fully furnished. And I'll try and explain that a little bit today about what the Lord has been saying to us. Sometime in this time, I don't know when, we're going to launch our website live here. And so we're going to talk about that. Snow's going to launch it live when I feel the Spirit of God say do that. So we're going to do it together as a family. We're going to launch it into the stratosphere of everything. It's been 11 months in the making. And I'm really thankful for Snow, for Jen Cork, who did the framework, for my wife, who was wrestling with me for about 8 months with content, Nick and Emma Bennett, who were our editors. And so we feel like it's really where it's supposed to be. One thing I want from that side is that people would go away with a sense of the mystery of Christ, because we've on purposely not made it a church website. So you'll see that when I feel the Lord saying do that. So if you have a Bible with you, which I won't say is a good thing to bring to church because my wife hates using that thing, so I'm just going to do that. But someone asked me the other day, how long does it take you to build a message? For something like a message like this, it's about 50 to 60 hours I'll spend with the Lord. And those hours are spent in Bible exposition, in hermeneutics, in exegesis, thinking about, praying through, using some scriptures and also some techniques that I've developed over the years. So anywhere between about 50 and 60 hours you put into a message. Well, I do anyway in terms of what the Lord has been speaking to us. Because last night I started to, it was probably too late to do it, but I just felt the Lord say, start to develop a timeline of what the Lord has done from September 14, 2014 until now. And so developing a timeline of what the Lord's actually been doing, because it's good to look back and mark what He's done and where He's done it, and then to be able to encourage yourself in the faith, and that pushes you forward, or propels you, I believe. So if you have a Bible, we're going to look at some of this. So it's a bit of exposition. We're going to look at some themes that are running through Ephesians 3 and 4, 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Thessalonians 2, Hebrews 3 and 2 Peter 3, but don't be too stressed about not finding those things. I've got them here for you. So hermeneutics is study. This is actually, someone said, what is it? And it actually is the study. So the literal translation of the word is supposed to be. So you go back and you look at the main two texts are Greek. New Testament's written in Greek. We also have some Hebrew there. And Aramaic, only two books of the Bible are written, or three books of the Bible have Aramaic in them. In the Old Testament, that is the book of Daniel, Ezra, and a little bit in Chronicles. And then in the New Testament, there's about 18 scriptures that have Aramaic in them. So there's three languages that make up our word. And so you have to dissect those languages to ensure that you're actually getting the fullness of the word. English is a really, really poor way to translate the Bible. And Greek and English are a funny mix. Hebrew and English are a funnier mix. And Aramaic English doesn't mix at all. And so you just got to, yeah. So when you're developing a word, you have to actually sit with it. I don't sit with any commentaries, so I don't go and sit with people that have written stuff at all. I don't do that. I've never done that. I sit with the Holy Ghost and allow Him to speak to me about it and talk about what the word actually means. And then I go into I love this, and we all do this, but you probably didn't know you did it, but I want to encourage you to always do it. And so this word in Greek, apokalypsis, it actually means the unveiling of the words of the Spirit. And so when you're reading the Word of God, this is what's happening. This is what the Bible says is happening to you when you're reading the Word of God through the Spirit. And I'll send this to everyone this afternoon so you can have this. So don't be too stressed about getting it all down. Now, when you're crafting a message as well, you have to be
open enough for the Spirit to teach you things that you don't haven't heard before and you might not think are actually relevant or real. The other thing you have to do, you have to be really patient about being able to change at any moment.
And so you can prepare, which is a good thing to prepare. The Bible says for us to prepare fully. But sometimes when we prepare fully, it's only just for that moment. And then the Spirit of God opens a door and you've got to go where He wants you to go. And so as a kingdom family, that's one of our markers, is that we feel really led, like this morning in worship, to just sit with Him. There might be a scripted set or a framework that we want to use, and we have a framework, but we just want to encourage the Holy Spirit to do what He wants to do. And we know that by doing that, we're actually honoring Him in a really, really powerful way. So we're going to have a lot of fun today. I really want us to be fully furnished. But I want us to have this. And this word, kletos, comes from the Greek, and it means that Jesus, every time you engage with Him, so whether it's through prayer, whether it's through reading the Word, whether it's through fellowship, whatever it's how you're engaging with Christ, and let me say this, there's heaps of different ways to engage with Jesus, and no one's got them perfect. And whatever you, however you engage with Christ is a beautiful way, so keep doing it. But what you do is actually, the Bible says this, it's an invitation, or you're being called to the feast. So every time you open the Word up, you're at a feast. Not at Macca's, like you're at a feast. Every time you pray, you're invited to a feast. It's not this, you know, I think what's happened in the West especially is that we've got this understanding that when we, oh, quick, I've got to go to Jesus for 5 minutes, and then, no, He's inviting you to a feast. It's a feast. It's not something that actually, you know, quickly ends. It actually continues all the time. And we know that in the Song of Songs, it says, or the Song of Solomon, it says that He delighted in you and invited you to His banquet hall where He gazed upon you. Right, that's pretty good. I reckon if I wasn't a believer and someone told me that I could go into a banquet hall and someone would just gaze upon me and love on me, I reckon that'd be pretty invitational, wouldn't you reckon? So evangelism is pretty good when you're in the Spirit of God. Amen. And so as we move today, I pray that we would have an understanding that we lack nothing and that we already have completion and that we are fully dressed and we're fully ready. Well, I'll say that again, that I really feel like we need to have a understanding that we lack nothing, that we are already in completion, and that we are fully dressed and ready. And those three markers, they were what Jesus purchased for us on the cross. And there's none of us in this room that can do anything to get any more of those things than what He gave at the cross on that day. Which is a really great thing, isn't it? That we can't compete with each other.
It's really good.
I love when the Holy Spirit comes because He actually allows competition to die. You ever notice that? When you actually start living in the Spirit, everything about you that wants to compete, it just starts to die.
And it's a really nice place to be where you're not competing against anybody. It's a really, really beautiful place to be.
So we're going to have a look at some things today and have some fun. If you want to get your Bible open, can we please go to Zechariah chapter 9? Zechariah chapter 9, and we're going to start in verse 9. Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. So Zechariah 9, verse 9 says this, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim," which means high place, "and the war horse from Jerusalem," which means double peace, "and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth." Who can say amen? "As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold. Listen to this. Prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double. For I have bent Judah as my bow. I have made Ephraim or the high places its arrow. I will stir up your sons, O Zion, against your sons, O Greece, and wield you like a warrior's sword. We're talking about the picture of a born-again church is actually being used as a warrior's sword in the hand of the Lord. Think about this for a moment.
Would it be all these things, but then Christ, when we start to be fully furnished, is going to use us as a warrior's sword.
To never ever destroy a person or a people or a place,
but to attack the things that attack people. Amen.
And in the worship this morning, Melody was speaking to me about, she had a vision. She says this, that in Jerusalem, and it was funny because I asked her before, just before Karen spoke, in Jerusalem, Peter, the disciple, was riding the same donkey Jesus rode into Jerusalem. But Peter was riding a donkey out of Jerusalem. I said, oh, strange. Anyway, I was praying, and the Holy Spirit said to me, Jesus came in and announced, what was he doing? He announced Hosanna in the highest. He was announcing his kingdom at that time, right? Peter, the apostle, was told to go out from Jerusalem, right? To announce what? The kingdom of God. We are being reminded this morning that our primary mandate is to announce the kingdom of God to the earth. Could I say something that may be a little bit stirring? The principal mandate is not for us to get people saved. The principal mandate is for us to announce the kingdom. And then by announcing the kingdom, people get saved. I think that
if our goal is to build big things instead of building the kingdom, then we might build big things,
but they won't be full of the kingdom.
But I know in Christ that if we build kingdom things, then whether they're big or not doesn't even come into the equation. I'm not prophesying smallness or bigness. I'm just saying that if we actually go out of Jerusalem, interesting that Jerusalem means double peace. And what does the Bible say the kingdom of heaven is? It's joy, or peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit, right?
And what I want to encourage you in is this,
is that if we're warfaring in any other place joy, except for joy and peace, then we need to be in that place to be in the kingdom fully. Because warfare is actually joyful and peaceful when you're in the kingdom, right? But when you step outside the kingdom and you start to try and do it in your own strength, joy doesn't come and peace doesn't reign. But if Peter was writing it out of Jerusalem, which means double peace, then as we're announcing the kingdom to the earth, then what will happen is that we will reign out of peace, we will reign out of joy, and we will reign out of righteousness. A lot of people around the earth are trying to war and live without joy. Would you agree? They're trying to war and live without peace.
Yep.
And they're trying to war and live in self-righteousness. And what those three things do is they actually take you into one thing that's called religion, which controls and binds us, right?
But if we start to see everything out of joy
and out of peace and out of righteousness, then the kingdom of heaven will be present wherever we are.
And that mandate is not for someone who's been saved for 17 years. It's a mandate for someone who's been saved for one moment.
There's an understanding happening in our kingdom family that we're looking at building the kingdom of God. And by building it together, we get to rule and reign in it together. You can build an ecclesia, you can build a church, right? You can build a church without having the kingdom of God, because you can use business principles and it could be a church, right? But to build the kingdom of God, you need to be knitted together in the heart, the mind, the soul, and the spirit, right? It says in the book of Acts that they were one mind, one body, and one spirit. And then, everything was added to them. To them daily, numbers of people were added. To them daily, power was added. To them daily, love was being manifested. And so in our hope in Christ, we want to be a people who rule out of joy and rule out of peace and rule out of righteousness, because they are the kingdom of God. But someone might say, but that doesn't make sense if I'm going through a hard time. Yes, it does, because even if you're going through a hard time in your body or your mind or whatever, or your soul, you can bring all those things under the joy of the Lord. You can bring all those things under the peace of God, the shalom of God, and you can bring all those things under the righteousness of God, because our Bible says that if you seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, then all things will be added unto you. Okay? So I just encourage in that as we go, as we move in this time, that we would realize, and maybe the Holy Spirit today, maybe all we want to do is this. We want to break the false revelation that you have to do something to be fully furnished. Or you have to do something to be filled. Or if I do that, I'm going to be unfilled for a day until I get back into my relationship with God. Well, it's impossible if you are born again to fall out and in. You know? Christ Himself said, do we know what Jesus' name means? What Christ means? The Anointed One? Yeah, and if you go and look at the root word of that, what it literally comes down to is you being smeared with heaven. Right? When they anointed David as king, Samuel comes, right? He comes into Jesse's house and he says, okay, Jesse, bring me your sons. And one at a time the sons come, and he's like, oh, none of these blokes. And he said, and then Samuel said to Jesse, have you got another son? Oh yeah, there's one more just out in the field. Get him. So they bring him in, and as Samuel anoints him as king, it wasn't like, oh, we bless you with a little bit of oil. That's beautiful, by the way. He actually poured, it's about 2 liters of oil on David, on the beloved. He poured this oil on him, and he was smeared. Like everywhere he went, he would have known, that's the smell of the prophet, that's the smell of heaven on this boy. And then he had to wait 14 years to inherit the promise that was given him that day. And we have trouble inheriting things over 5 minutes. Because you know? None of you have ever been upset. None of you have ever been upset. You put the microwave popcorn in the microwave and it's 2 minutes 40 and you've got to 1 minute 20. Hurry up! I command you, acceleration in the name of Jesus. I want my popcorn now. Or you go through drive-thru and then they go, can you please wait? If I wanted to wait, I would have made it myself. Right? But the Lord is speaking to us about the patience of God and how God is releasing patience to us. Okay? And so as we go about today, we want to realize that patience is actually something that the Lord is gifting us with. Okay? And the gifting of patience is not so we can be held back, but it's so that we can inherit. If you go and look at the word wait, and I'll just quickly do this now, the word wait doesn't mean that I'm going to sit on my backside and I'm just going to hang around and it's going to come to me, okay? Because none of us in this room have ever actually been impatient when we waited, have we? Like, we're always just patient, we're always long-suffering, we're just like, yes, Lord, oh, thank you for letting me wait, right? But biblically, the word wait means this. It means to position yourself with full access to what you already have without having it. Then it means to, in that moment, to celebrate and to command that thing to come. And then there's actually five words for wait. And the fifth word means this, is to manifest a peace that surpasses all knowledge while you wait. But that doesn't make sense because it hasn't changed in my body, or it hasn't changed in my mind, or it hasn't changed in my circumstance. Well, you just keep believing it will, and it will. Not because of some superpower you have, but because of He promises. His promises are what? Yes and?
Amen.
Which means they're finished already.
Okay? Amen. It's good. I'm having a bit of fun. Hope you are too. I pray for you that as you go out of Jerusalem like Peter, that's so good, eh? I wondered about the donkey for years. And then he goes, oh, Peter was riding out of Jerusalem. Oh, ooh, that's good. I like this, Lord. I pray for us that we would be a people that notice what Christ has done on the way in. Yep. So we can actually take that and walk out with it. Amen. Jesus himself took back the keys to what? Death, hell, and the grave, or destruction, the word is there, yep. And who did he give the keys to? Pardon? To? Yeah, and so, and to you, right? It was a prophetic picture that Jesus was releasing keys. His kingdom. If he says to us, we can have his kingdom, and we didn't get the keys, then we couldn't have the kingdom. So when he released the keys back to his people, he released it to all his people. Prove it, someone said to me. John 17 says that the very same relationship that the Father has with the Son, you have access to. Have you thought about that for a moment? This exactly the same relationship that Jesus has with the Father, you have access to through Christ. Oh, that's so good. We could just stop, pause, and just go, right? The exact same relationship that Jesus has with Yahweh, you have access to right now. And nothing will qualify us for that access except for His blood. And all we've got to do is believe. That's why the Bible says, anyone who believes upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. Okay? Because it's not about some trickery. He's not trying to trick us into some mechanism of doing things. He's trying to rid us of mechanisms so we can realize how simple it actually is. I believe what you said is true, and so I'll go with that. Anyone here is a parent, right? Ever told like an untruth and your kids have heard it? Oh, just to be honest, because all you people like Jesus' third cousin, right? But you notice that when you do that, your child believes you still. Why do they believe you still? Because they trust without even knowing. That's how he wants us to be with him. That we would trust, like we don't have to know the details. But we can just trust and say yes. Me and Adam Hooks have been saying for a few months now, we don't know what's happening, we just say thank you. When the Spirit of God comes and when Jesus does stuff and we understand, we just say thank you. Because I'm not going to question the King who has all the sight from me who doesn't have all the sight. Amen? Yeah. And so I encourage us as we go on our journey every day that we would realize that He wants to rule through us with peace and joy and righteousness. To the point, and I'll just say, to the point where, I'll say this, to the point where you can go anywhere without any expectation or any plan, and His kingdom can come. Because it's not about working anything up, it's about realizing what you already have access to. So could then creation respond to you in a place? 100%. Could you go to a cafe tomorrow morning and not say anything about Jesus to anybody, but be affecting everybody there with the gospel? 100%. Because what we've done is we've put, in the Western Church, we've put a lowly level on what we can do. We haven't realized the magnitude of who He is and what He can do through us. If you pray in the morning, Lord, I don't know why, but just said, you want me to go to Blackstone? I'll go to Blackstone. You want me to sit in this shop? This is strange, but I'll go do it. What do you want me to say? Nothing. Just sit there. Guarantee you that He will do whatever He wants to do in that place. He might get you to say some words sometime. The other thing I'm really thankful for each of you is this. And I don't know if this is the the exact thing, but I'm loving this stuff, right?
So when John Rhys wasn't born again,
there was a man or a woman
in some foreign country, let's just say in Bosnia, who the Lord put on their heart to pray for a man called John Rhys, who lived in Australia, that he would come into the kingdom, right? There's a, before anyone, who'll like not pick on at all, let's just say Phil. So Phil Grimmer's going through a hard time, and he doesn't know until he gets to glory. There's a lady who's been praying in the mountains of Austria, because the Holy Spirit said, pray for Phil Grimmer right now. There's going to be so many people you're going to meet in glory that had a connection to your story. That rhyme shouldn't have rhymed. Right? So many people in glory are going to have a connection to your story. And they're going to, you know what? We're going to meet people that are so famous in heaven when we get to glory that had no ministry on the earth. No physical. Oh, they didn't have any followers. They didn't have a big campaign, a big meeting. But they knew his name. And when they opened their mouth, the Bible says that actually heaven moved because of their relationship with that place. Think about the people that you've never even met that have been praying for you, who have been seeking God that you would overcome, that have been joining with Jesus' prayers for your life, and they don't have to have any credit at all. They're just people that are listening to the Holy Ghost. And you like them, are doing the same thing for other people. Isn't it amazing? You wake up in the morning, you're like, what? I've never prayed that before. Okay, I'll pray for Turkey. I'll pray for the Turkish Minister of Water. Okay. And you start praying. You have no idea why you're doing it. And then one day, when you get to glory, or when he returns, you're going to say, listen, you know when you're obedient that morning to pray for that Minister of Water in Turkey? He went to meet another guy who met another guy who got born again at that very moment that you prayed. And I'm thankful for you, son or daughter, that you had an ear to hear what the Spirit was saying. That's what starts to happen when you actually are in a kingdom family. And that's what starts to happen when you become fully furnished in God.
The furnishing of God happens in two incredible places in the Bible. It happens in Ephesians 4, where we talk about the graces of the gifts of the leadership of the body of Christ. And it happens in Acts 27, where we have Paul, who's setting sail for Rome. And we know that Paul ends up, he fasts for 2 weeks with all the sailors, that's pretty cool. And then they have this incredible storm. Like, think about that. He fasts, then the storm comes. What? No, what? If I'm fasting, you should break in, God. Yeah, but see, that's the heart of fasting, isn't it? Fasting is not to get something, right? Fasting is for intimacy, right? And so what we have is we have Paul goes on the ship, and I love it, the Bible says this, and they even threw out all the cargo. So the ship was supposed to be fully furnished, but they threw everything off of it. It's an interesting story, so we're going to look at that today. So if we can spend a little bit of time thinking and praying, I'm going to ask some questions and love some response as well this morning, about what it actually means to be fully furnished.
Has anyone in here bought a house already furnished? Yeah, what was it like? Was it nice just to walk in and not have to do anything? Yeah, and it's like a curse. There was no boxes. Yeah, but it was already there, right? Yeah, anyone else bought a house that was fully furnished? An apartment that was fully furnished? No one? Just one person? Excellent. Or two people? Brent, you were there, were you? No, that's good, mate. It's good. And so when you buy something that's already fully furnished, you don't have to do any of the labor-intensive things to get what you should have already had in there, right? And so you don't have to move all your stuff. Yeah, who's ever moved house? Come on. Who had joy, peace, and righteousness when they were moving house? It's got to be one. It's got to be someone who's going to be like, I was so thankful after the 11th box that had breakables in it broke. I'm just thankful. No. And so what we do is we find ourselves in a place. Religion will try to get you to think that you have to move all your stuff in to a place that's already full. And so religion says to you, Well, you've got to do this, 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 and this to qualify for the things that you have, you can get in God. And the Holy Spirit says, actually, everything's already done for you. Come in. Come on in and receive. My incredible wife, she wrote this song that she's not releasing at the moment because she has to have a moment from the Lord for it. But in that song, it talks about the person who's stuck in those religious times. Maybe your house is three quarter furnished already. But there's those rooms and you ain't going in there, Lord. Like, you ever got one of those rooms in your house?
Yeah.
You ever had someone show up to your house and you haven't cleaned it?
Yeah.
Oh. And I just to let you in on a little secret, I love vacuuming. That is holy. Holy. Holy to the Lord vacuuming, right? Oh. Who agrees? Who can say yeah, amen to that? Oh. But sometimes what we want to do is we want to hide a little bit of who we are, even from the Lord, because we feel like that thing over there, that room, so to speak, metaphorically, that room, you don't want to touch that, God. You don't even like that stuff, God. But He wants us to know this morning that He is so excited to go into those places with us and make them fully furnished.
Yeah.
He wants to rearrange the furniture, so to speak, so that the things that we don't need don't have to be in there anymore, and the things that we do need remain. And didn't Jesus say that when we talk about the vine and the branches, and that if you remain in me, what's going to happen if you remain in Him? What was that? Yes, much fruitfulness will come from you. Who wants to be much fruitfulness? That was really good English. Who wants to be much fruitfulness, right? Fruitfulness. Not just one tree, but an orchard. You know, I was thinking the other day, like, when you're praying for people, isn't it great you can pray for things that people don't know that you're praying for?
Yeah.
It's like, it's so good. And then you see those things manifest, and you're just so thankful that you were able to be part of something for God.
Yeah.
You might not have been the only person praying, by the way, but let's not be prideful. But it's like, it's so good to see something happen in someone's life. Wow, that's so good. Oh, I just love that. So good. I was thinking the other day, isn't it amazing, like, we've got some graphic designers in this room, right? And most of their work is probably going to be in the secular realm, right? Some of it might be in the kingdom realm, sorry, the church realm, but everything about their work is in the kingdom realm. And so they might be just drawing a design that they've done a thousand times that it's bored of, but as they're thinking, oh Lord, as the person reads this or sees it, I pray that word blesses them. I believe people can be saved through graphic designers who are doing secular work because they've actually created something. And who's in them? Christ, the one who overcame, the one who was, is, and is to come. And as they release those things, without even saying, oh, but I've got to put the Jesus tag on the end of it, right? As they release those things, with their mindset of prayer, bless these people that read this, Lord. It might be a brochure. Who cares? But God can move. Yeah? We believe that? If people are hairdressers and they're cutting people's hair, right, the kingdom can move because of those people, not what they have to say, what they have to think. You know, your prayers can be thoughts. You can think a prayer without saying a prayer. Sometimes we need to declare things and say them out of our mouth, but there's sometimes where we think things as prayers and they manifest. Who was praying, like, and don't get me wrong, I'm not into politics that much, but who was praying that an American president was able to step into North Korea? What? You see that? He got to go into North Korea. What? Someone's got to be praying for that man. And for the other man. Like, imagine that. Who would have thought that 10 years ago that anyone would have been able to step into North Korea or invited in? Invited in. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Because North Korea is about to get a whole move of God.
Wow.
Yeah. You know where it's going to come from? Little people who have got no name praying for heaven to invade North Korea. Joining with people who have got a name in Christianity, praying for North Korea. Because everyone's invited. No one's left out. And no one's left behind. When we're fully furnished in God, imagine this. Imagine, I want you to picture right now, if you could have a place anywhere on earth, and picture the building that you would want in that place, and I want you to picture the furniture that's in that place, and I want you to imagine yourself, in your mind's eye, walking through that front door. Think about it right now. The place where it is in the world, maybe you've got some revelation about moving to Tahiti. Let me know, please. But think about the house that it would be, the shape of it. Think about what would be inside the house. I've always wanted a slide in the house. I don't know, just a slide inside. Just, that's so good. But think about that. And then now understand that's what the Lord wants you to understand you have in Him. You have the best of the best of the best already in Him. When He died on that cross and He said, "It is finished," and He was resurrected, and then it says, the Bible says that He ascended to the high place with His Father that had prepared for Him. When He had sat down on His throne, every single thing that you ever could dream or need is actually given to you at that moment. What we are doing right now in the earth is that we are inheriting what's already ours. Not because of our performance, but because of who He actually is. And so I want you to think about being fully furnished in God is that very thing. The place you want to live, the house you want to have, the furniture you want in that place. Spiritually, you already have all of that because of what He did for us. Thank goodness, this little monkey.
I'm going to tell you a story about Amariah. I might tell it now while she's on my leg.
The Lord's been speaking to us as a kingdom family. Many people in this house, people that couldn't join us today and people that are here, people from all different walks of life, that God, when Jesus died on the cross, it wasn't so we could go to heaven. That was part of it. But it was so that we could actually see Eden come back to the earth. Now, you know, that's a big stretch. It's not a big stretch if you understand the kingdom of heaven. Revelation 11 says this, that the kingdom of this world is being invaded and becoming the kingdom of our Yahweh and of His Christ. Right? And so, this little one, we went for a walk the other day. Got a hot chocolate, which is what you need to get for a walk. And then she dropped the whole thing. But that's okay. We kept walking. We had these rocks, and there's huge rocks at Falcon Bridge. Me and her just walking in the bush. And she turns to me and she says, "The trees are speaking." And I was like, "Oh yeah, like cool, like, you know, fancy things a kid say, right?" And she said, "They're saying Adam was born," right? And I was like, "Yeah." And then the Bible says that all of creation is groaning. That word groaning is speaking or shouting. For the manifestation of the sons of God. Yeah. Women in here be empowered. That word sons means that when you are in Christ, you are part of that sonship. Okay?
We don't call it daughtership, we call it sonship in God, right?
And then I realized what her name meant. And Amariah's name means Yahweh has spoken. Wow. So I was like, am I going to say this or not? Yeah, I'll say it. I won't say it publicly. Well, it's public now, I suppose. But, giant cliffs. Amen. But the Lord was speaking to me saying, "Listen, that's not for me, or it is for me, but it's for you. It's for everyone to realize that all of creation is manifesting," it says, "waiting for people to step into the reality of what heaven is doing right now." For years... Yeah, amen.
I literally, before you said that, writing these verses down, because I had a dream last night where that verse was in the dream, where God said we had to begin to preach and teach exactly what you're preaching right now. Wow, I've got to hear dream teaching on all creation groans for the manifestation of the sons of God. and that creation speaking to us, God speaking to us through creation. And each of you wrote that down just before you spoke that.
Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. It gets me excited. I'll say this statement to you, and I wrote this in our update released last week. If you haven't read that, I encourage you to read it. And that was this, is that the Blue Mountains doesn't need more churches, and the plains either side don't need more churches. What they need is a heavenized version of themselves. They need to understand that heaven is everywhere around us. And we're not saying some spooky thing about heaven. We're saying that Jesus himself said this, that my kingdom come, my will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? So the greatest thing we can give to anyone who's not born again is the realities of heaven on the earth. That's not popular, by the way, but it's powerful. It may not get you 1,000 people every week in whatever meetings you're in, but it will give you hungry and desperate people who are saying, yes, I believe that I'm looking to heaven, it's going to come into my life. Let's imagine this for imagine you're working in a secular place where you're not allowed to pray, they promote social agendas that you're not actually into. But imagine this, imagine that you went into that place each morning and you said, Holy Spirit, as I walk through that door, if I get to say nothing about you today, everything in me is crying out for you to come into this place. Don't be confined by the rules and regulations that society is going to put on you and has already put on you right now. We can have a man who shares a Bible verse be sacked from his job, and a man who betted against his own profession, fraudulent, was a drug user and a drug dealer, and was on aggravated assault charges against women, reinstated to a workplace this week, but a man who shared the scripture is thrown out. Don't worry about a thing, says the Lord. Let all things happen for his glory. Amen. And I'm not saying I support everything in those situations that happen publicly in Australia. What I am saying is this, is that Australia needs heaven to break in. Out of our Prime Minister's lips, when they win, because it's not a win, right? Oh, they won the election. No, the person who the Lord wanted just was planted there, right? Because you can't take any credit for it, right? And you haven't heard him take any credit for it. And he said, I believe in miracles. Well, amen. Because everyone had discounted him. Everyone had disqualified them. And everyone said that could never, ever happen. But his name is Yahweh. And he has the greatest ideas and plans for us today. Have you heard people say this? Oh, it's going to get really bad and Jesus is going to come. You heard people say that? Yeah? Mostly on Facebook. You get those Facebook prophets that prophesy something they read in the news yesterday. Right? And so, it's kind of doom and gloom, doom and gloom, doom and gloom. You know what? The Bible says it's going to be so good before he comes. The earth is going to look more and more and more and more like heaven. And then he's going to come. The bride of Christ is going to look better and better and better and better. Talk about a makeover. Who would like this? Without any spots. I've got friends everywhere. Without wrinkles. Woo-hoo! Come on. We can start a whole movement here, eh? And without any blemishes. Who doesn't want any blemishes anymore, amen? Get those birthmarks out in Jesus' name, right? But that's what he's coming back to. A bride that is getting better and better and better and better. Not worse and worse and worse. Can we agree today that the world is getting better? Think about this. In 1826, the death rate of kids was heaps higher than it is right now. Will we agree? Well, the world must be getting better then. The advances in technology and the world is getting better, amen? So don't believe the doom and gloom. that everything's getting, oh, it's going to be really bad. We're going to have to buy a cave and have 17,000 cans of tomatoes. No, his name is Jesus, and he's got everything sorted out for our lives. Everything. He said, listen, if I dress the sparrow with its feathers and I fed it, don't worry about a thing. Oh, you know it's going to get... No, it's not. We need to start speaking into even our church culture that it's going to get better and better and better and better. Amen? Can we agree? So good. Being fully furnished also helps you to realize what you would have if you didn't follow him. If we didn't follow, imagine where you'd be if you didn't follow Jesus. Whoa. Imagine if he hadn't stepped into your life at that moment and then used that as fuel to push you into evangelism. Who can remember the days where he wasn't present? Hallelujah. Who can remember those days where he wasn't present and how successful we were in our own eyes? Right? And then we met him and he transforms us. What does it say? From the kingdom of darkness into the glorious kingdom of light. Who wouldn't want that for any person, amen? Who wouldn't want that? And I feel like the Lord's speaking to us to not have to... The Bible is super important. But it's not the only way God speaks. And so it shouldn't be the only way we actually evangelize people. Okay? There's got to be so many different variety of ways that we actually speak to people. Amen. Okay.
How am I going for time? What time is it? I haven't got a clock, so I don't know what's going on. Oh, excellent. All right. Give me 10 minutes. Amen. Wow. Permission. So... let's get into this quickly.
Just give me 10 minutes, that's enough. I don't have to be up and say much. What do you see? What do you see?
Ships?
Yep. Convoy? What's that?
Armada.
Oh, yes. You're going to love something to say. Armada. Right? Are we all the same?
No.
No? Is that good? Yes. Let's stop trying to be like each other.
Yeah.
And let's be more like Christ. Amen? And so the word apostle comes from the word apostolos. And the word apostolos means to actually have a company or an armada of ships going to a new location, taking all the virtues and values from the place it came from. And there's a lead ship that goes into the territory first and plants itself in that new territory. Now, a few months ago and a few weeks ago, the Lord's been speaking to us as a family about migration. About heaven migrating into the earth, right? And this is not new. Plenty of places are seeing way more than we can even hope to imagine, but we're going to see that as well. But what I wanted to encourage you is that when you're fully furnished, when you say, you know what, I'm not just turning up to church to hang out with people that think the same as me, when I'm invested in Jesus and his kingdom, I actually find myself, no matter how big or small the ship is, which is ministry, that I have in Christ, it doesn't even matter. And the person who's got a big ministry isn't a threat to me anymore. And the person who's got a smaller ministry isn't like lesser than me anymore. You actually see yourself completely what the Bible says, equal in Christ. Yeah. With different roles and functions, amen.
Yes.
This, I'm going to lead something in a minute. I'm going to give credit, my credit's due in a moment as well. What do you see? A trek? Crossing?
Like milestones.
Markers?
Yeah.
Footsteps. What's that? A path, a journey. Excellent, yes. And so this represents to us, and I'm going to show you, this represents the prophetic in our lives. This represents, this is a type of picture of the prophetic in our lives. That all along the way, there's markers to keep us on the narrow path. When we're fully furnished, we can actually accept what the Lord is saying without discounting it or disqualifying ourselves by saying, well, that's not me, that couldn't be me. Or, no, I'm not worthy of that. I'm not worthy to do that in God because I'm just a small person. Or, oh, I'm just like fanciful in my thinking. No, the prophetic keeps you on the narrow road. I love the third marker there. That's not straight. You see, that's on an angle. That's my favorite bit about this picture. It's like, it's off on an angle a bit. I love that because what it shows me is this, is that sometimes the journey's not going to be exactly where we think it's going to be, but he's going to be with us. Anyone ever been unbalanced in here? Oh, thank you, Dad. Yeah. Hear that? The chiropractor, the doctor says he's unbalanced. Be careful, everybody, right? But what the prophetic does, it actually empowers us into the place we need to be, amen? Yeah.